everyone. Welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. I'm John Iderola. Hopefully the tech issues are over and all my fault. Today is Wednesday though. Wednesday's big days, big special days. We're gonna give you information about that special in just a few, but we wanna invite onto the show once again, our big news correspondent, J.R. Jackson. How's it going, J.R.?
Say, what's up, John? I just got off the phone with representatives in DC. They've confirmed me today is, in fact, a big news day, the way that
they
I
did. Am. Okay.
Yeah. I call every Tuesday night and make sure that they get this popping before I come on.
It takes a bit for the scientists to analyze. There's a machine with all these things that go up and down, and then they have to measure how up and down it went, like, and it went way up.
Compression, some steam comes out, you know.
Light bulbs makes explode. And apparently, lots of light bulbs exploded. So it is a big news day. Let's talk about what kind of big news day it is. It's the kind of day where Biden is going to be giving his first big address to Congress. Don't call it a State of the Union because I don't know when that's happening, JR. Is that happening at some point?
I forget why it hasn't. Maybe it's the COVID stuff, but maybe. Who knows when it's gonna happen. Honestly, the fact that it's been this long and people have, I don't know, maybe because in the circles of things that I'm looking at, minimally have mentioned that there has been no State of the Union, it kind of means people don't really care. Gotta be honest, it's one of those things that people, they care when it happens, but it's not like we're looking for it and like, oh my God, we missed the State of the Union. What are we gonna do now?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it would be kind of nice to have a State of the Union where it's not like, oh God, is he gonna like launch missiles in the middle of this thing or anything like that? But we will have to see. But what I do know is that something is happening and we're gonna be covering that something. So you can join myself, Cenk Uygur and JR. Oh, JR, you're in the special. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be breaking down everything you need to know about the special. It's gonna mark Biden's first 100 days in office. He's gonna be giving details on his next big plan, which we're going to be spoiling for you in just a few minutes. That will be at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time at tyt.com/live. Basically, right after the post game, which I'm gonna be joining Anna Kasparian for. You can join Cenk and JR and myself as we break down this Biden address. Should be fun. I hope, JR.
We could use a good. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, thank you all for being here. Regardless of where you're at, please hit the like button, share the stream so that people know that we're live. And as we go through this hour of news, you can send us tweets or comments, super chats, anything like that, and we will respond to them. First off, wanted to thank Kevin C and Mallory McDonald for becoming members, Nidorina as well at level two. Our level two and level three members get access to our weekly top 10 list. This week, Francesca and I did our top 10 problematic faves, and that was a fun one. Probably gonna get us in trouble. Can't run for Congress now, but it was fun. So with that, we got a lot more we're gonna be talking about, but why don't we launch into our first topic? Joe Biden is 100 days in to his presidency, and he wants to mark that with this first big address to Congress. And in it, he's expected to lay out his agenda for pandemic recovery and economic development. In his speech, he's expected to tout his success in vaccinating 200 million people in his first 100 days, comment on legislation to curtail police violence. I love that, like, the preview is not even like strongly push. It's just like,
yeah,
comment on it. Look at that over there. It's like, look at that dog. Yes, there is a dog. What do you think about the dog, though? But anyway, he's also gonna push his big infrastructure proposal. So we're gonna get into some of the parts of the plan, how the American people think about him right now. But I will say, at least in the area of the vaccinations, we've hit 200 million in 100 days. We're probably pretty much done at this point because I don't think most of the other people are gonna get it, but that is a big success, JR.
Can I ask you something? Because yeah, it's a big success. And man, this hit me yesterday as I was walking Sprocket, man. Cause there's a friend of mine from high school, I've known her since forever. And she posted this video of this guy who was debunking and going crazy against vaccines, right? And it made me think.
Podcast.
Anyway. Yeah, we won't say names. It wasn't that guy, but I listened to it and I kept listening to it. It was like a continuous stream of her, like her stories on it. And I was thinking, man, okay, I know she's a smart well thought out person. She's not insane. She's a vegan, so she says all this. She's very concerned about what goes in her body. And I assume maybe a lot of vegans think this way. So when it came to the vaccine, of course, you look at everything that goes into your body and you question and wonder if it's gonna work for you. When is it gonna do this? What it may do? Maybe it includes some kind of animal byproducts or testing sites, whatever things that maybe don't match up with her beliefs. Either way it goes, this guy was on everything, the total encompassing thing. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty good at convincing people that this is a problem without it being a conspiracy theory. He never said anything about tracking devices and Bill Gates is out to get you and oh my, he didn't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So people can listen to that and it's very easy to be like, man, these vaccines, there's an issue. And they kind of can have a point. And this is what's bad about us saying that. Then it discourages people from getting the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. I wish we could have, and this is totally a Joe Manchin thing now, but this is in reality based situations. I wish we could have a conversation with folks who are sane, but then also are a little bit worried about taking the vaccine, because why is that crazy? It's only crazy because we have so many conspiracy theorists talking about Bill Gates tracking devices and you growing a third nose. So yeah. I don't know.
A third nose.
Yeah, because the second one is guaranteed after hidden. You take the vaccine.
That's
so
true.
So it's just, I wish if it wasn't the fringe of that to keep people from like us, from shunning everybody who says I'm a little concerned about the vaccine, because it's wrong for us to do that. And then from the extreme of our wing of people who, if you see someone without a mask on outside, go, how dare you, how dare you, how dare you, how dare you, because that's annoying. So you kind of can see each side's making everyone else who thinks rationally about it hate to even have to talk about it. So it's kind of like an unsaid conversation that should be said. But it makes things worse to not say it because of the crazies on both ends of this.
I get, we've tried to be fair, like we covered J&J, the initial problems and all that. Like so many people are beyond reason.
Sorry, it's a total side note, but it's just the vaccine stuff that Biden's gonna talk about tonight made me wonder, should he address it in a way that actually points out the concerns that regular, normal thinking people have about a vaccine that they don't know anything about because it's only been a year, which I think that can be a valid curiosity versus people who have told you what's in it, what's it gonna do to you, what's that? There's people who go, I don't know what it's gonna do. I don't know what's in it. Why can't they have those questions? And we should be able to address them and maybe you can convince enough people and they have information that makes them feel comfortable about taking it rather than it being you should because.
I mean, they do those press conferences with the doctors. I think that's probably a better venue for it than Joe Biden, who's not a medical expert, opining on it on the thing. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. In any event, I think, look, I'm frustrated about parts of this, but clearly we have won in pushing for a vaccine to be generated quickly and in so many people being willing to get it. I can be frustrated about the remaining percentage who haven't. And by the way, I saw someone's like, what does John mean it's done? They're still doing 2.7 million a day. No, I was exaggerating. I get it. People are still getting vaccinated. If you haven't already, please do. What I'm saying is I worry that that is going to tail off because of a lack of demand, but we will see about that.
Apologies.
What's that?
I said apologies. I hit that side note, but it was just,
okay, no problem. JR Joe Rogan Jackson. Okay. So anyway, so what do people think about Biden in advance of the special? Well, according to Kyle Griffin, new CNN poll shows 53% of Americans approve the way Biden is handling the job and say he has the right priorities. I partially agree with that. 59% say Biden is doing a good job keeping his campaign promises. 66% approve of Biden's handling of the pandemic. And the remaining 34%, they don't want him to do anything. So you're never gonna get 100% on that because we're an insane country. But that's what people think we will see. Like people seem to like a lot of them are like, good, I like the COVID aid bill, or oh, this plan for infrastructure seems good. Some people are just like, oh God, my blood pressure is finally down after years of elevation. And when they see little tidbits probably of this speech tonight, I think you'll get a little bit more of that. I think people will be like, oh good. It happened and there wasn't any massive threats of fire and fury or anything. That's nice. We'll see. That's not enough for us, but I think for some people it will be.
Yeah, well, we'll see, because that's the other part. There's always gonna be, of course, the thought process of, oh, the old man's up there talking, oh, he mispronounced the word, because he probably will. He may get lost in the script. He may have to loop back and say, oh, excuse me, I meant this word, not that. Well, you know, those things happen with anyone.
Come on.
But those are gonna be the things that people are gonna pay attention to. Some will pay attention to make sure that there's some kind of, because it's obviously a political exercise tonight. You're gonna have Tim Scott respond after Joe Biden speaks. So you have to make sure that the opposing side has their word. It's gonna turn to a political exercise, and you can't have a political exercise unless you find something wrong with what the first person had to say. So if it's all normal words, you have to then go after the way he presented it.
Yeah, totally. No, and look, in the chat, Renewed is like, if they don't trust the experts and they might trust Biden, wouldn't Biden weighing in help? No, certainly, but first of all, Biden has encouraged vaccination a billion times. He will definitely hear. I'm just saying, Biden isn't gonna be going down like by volume the content of the vaccines. Like, he's not gonna do that. He's gonna tell people to get vaccinated, and he should. And by the way, we want to know what you think in anticipation of this. We're going to give you both the reactions and the pre-actions of Fox to the speech tonight. But first, we have a poll up at tyt.com/polls. How will Biden do at tonight's joint address to Congress? Will he give a speech for the ages? Will it be fine but uninspiring? Or will he fall asleep at the podium? We threw that in there for conservatives. We love our conservative viewers for helping algorithmically. Anyway, so you can go to tyt.com/polls/Biden-address, or just tyt.com/polls. It'll probably be at the top, and we'll give you the results a little bit later on. That said, though, let's jump into the substance. What will Joe Biden be announcing at tonight's address to Congress? Well, we have quite a bit of the detail. If you don't like spoilers, I get it, but this is politics. Don't be a weirdo. This isn't like Stranger Things or anything. I'm just gonna tell you what's in the bill. Come on. Anyway, here's what's gonna be in the American Families Plan. $200 billion for universal preschool for all 3 and 4 year olds, which the administration estimates would benefit 5 million children and save the average family $13,000. We have a lot, let's pause there. As I was looking through a lot of this, I thought a lot of this seems designed to help people in a life situation like, or maybe a couple of years ago, J.R. Jackson, who has a kid and you gotta worry about preschool and stuff. So universal preschool for 3 and 4 year olds. I don't have a kid yet. JR, how helpful would that have been when your kid was 3 and 4?
I gotta be honest with you, John. It's one of the reasons I don't have a second kid. It really is. Because you have to, you know, everyone considers, not everyone, but most people consider the cost of a kid when they have like, oh man, I need to make sure we have this, this and that. If you have the means to be able to do so, to plan for child expenses. But no matter how much you plan for it, your bank account will never be prepared. I mean, again, unless you're rich, but your bank account will never be prepared for when you shop around for a preschool for your kid and then you discover that there's no such thing as an affordable preschool. Yes, there are some that are more affordable than others, but there's no such thing as a preschool where you're like, oh yeah, I mean, you know, my kid's going off to school and I don't think about that. That's great. Every time you go, man, are they doing the right thing? Cause you know, I'm paying $1,200 a month for this garbage, you know.
Oh so God, it's $1,200 a month.
Oh, man, that's the median.
Well, what's below opinion. That? I'll do the below that then. Is there a van somewhere?
7 to 8, maybe? I don't know, I'm trying to remember now.
Oh man.
But I mean, high end, you know, you can astronomical. So yeah, so in thinking about that, that's such a burden lifted from you, because I also remember first day of kindergarten when he went to normal public school that isn't directly coming out of my bank account every month. I was crying while he was crying because he was getting separated from us. I was crying because we didn't have to pay for preschool anymore.
You were so enthusiastically pushing him out the door and you felt a lightness in your wallet. Anyway,
it was crazy. Anyway, so yes. So in other words, yes, it's a very big deal for parents. And also I'm not sure how it would pair up with which preschools you can send your kids to. All those type things would have to be ironed out. Maybe that's gonna get addressed. But the point is that
we need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
It's a very big deal for parents to have to wonder about their kid, because you want your kid to go to preschool. We talk about all these studies about pre-education helps a child with this kind of development. If you do this with your child at birth, sure, to this age, to that age, all that stuff gets pushed and everyone's concerned about it. But then there's no means for everyone to have that kind of connection for their children. So why are we pushing it so hard if we don't want our kids to have it?
Now, I'm going to give you more details on this. Bear in mind, this is not something that has already been passed. This is something that's being proposed. Let's find out what both the parliamentarian and Joe Manchin think about it. But anyway, you also have $109 billion to offer 2 free years of community college to all Americans who want it. An increase to the maximum Pell Grant award as well. Wait, it's 2 free years of community college? Like they're not doing the full 4? I don't know. That
seems
community weird.
Anyway, is 2 years, right?
Is that generally, yeah, I mean, I guess,
associate's degrees,
but is that including, what about like when you transfer, then you're on your own hypothetically? Anyway, I guess we'll get more details. Double scholarships for students studying to become teachers, I like that. $2.25 billion to make childcare more affordable. That doesn't seem like much money considering the scope of the problem, but they have something for it. Creating a national comprehensive paid leave, family and medical leave program, that seems good, as well as tax credits and cuts. Things like extending the expanded ACA premium tax credits, making health insurance cheaper for millions, extending the child tax credit, a bunch of things like that that generally seems good. And the thing is, we're going to give you again those pre-actions from Fox. Now, is this what, if I were in charge, we'd have? No, it would be different and bigger. If Bernie had won, totally. That said, most Americans are going to hear this and think, good. And when I say most Americans, I don't mean lefties or centrists. I mean, there are lots of conservatives who have kids and have been through JR's situation with preschool, or maybe their kids want to go to college. I know colleges are where you go to go and get indoctrinated by commies or whatever, but like maybe you want your kid to be a doctor or lawyer. I don't know. And it's really expensive. So it kind of seems nice to have some of this stuff. I think that this stuff is going to be popular. I know that it's not directly addressing some of the biggest crises like cancel culture and Seuss being banned, but it's something, okay? They're peripheral concerns for some Americans.
Yeah, this is one of those, I think, types of agendas where you have to ignore the antis, the pushbacks. So when they say, oh, how dare you, look at all this money, this go into this. You'd be like, hey, you guys have been preaching how much we need to invest in our children. Why are you against investing in our children? Just bring up exactly what they're saying, because when you have policies that actually help people, you have, honestly, and this is what a lot of conservatives hate hearing, or at least they say libs and progressives want, this moral high ground. Yes, you're damn right. I'm on the moral high ground. I'm backing up my declarations for what I want for our kids, rather than saying, how dare you put this on our kids and our grandkids' backs? What does that mean? Instead, why are we stacking this on our kids and grandkids' backs to not have opportunities and not have an opportunity to get to where they want? Like you said, say you want your kid to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, or they want to be a doctor or lawyer, but they have no means to get there. Why do you not care about our kids? I'm investing in Americans. America First does not mean sometimes or a few of them. It means Americans first. Why do you hate some Americans and like others? Man, turn it right back on them. They have to then have a conversation with themselves about why they one time say good things about Americans and in the next moment talk about how horrible and unjust it is to give them anything that they deserve.
Yeah. Well, some of that back and forth that you're alluding to there, we're gonna get into in just a few with Fox and Friends. You know, there's ideological reactions and then there's fear. Fear that, oh God, what if the Democrats for once try to actually offer something to the American people? They haven't really ever done it. We definitely haven't done it. Oh my God, it might be really popular. So we will find out. Now, the American people seem to have liked the COVID bill. They seem to like the idea that the government could do something for them. It's weird. But anyway, let's read a few comments from the audience before we move on. Venetia David says, thank you with a super sticker. Thank you very much. Lazy Peon says, so Florida just went from shoot the hurricane stupid and leveled up to your vaccine can infect me stupid. I don't even know directly what that's a reference to, but I get the idea and thank you.
Oh, no, because that private Florida school is telling teachers not to come back if they got vaccinated because she believes the couple ownership of this private school believe that anyone vaccinated negatively affects others around them, like they're contagious with the bad.
Oh, like the Naomi Wolf women got blood clots being around people who got it. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard, and I've watched Alex Jones. Anyway, KG Romick says, I just wanted to say thank you for sharing my dislike of Joe Rogan. I can't stand that guy. It's not like, let's be clear, it's not a generalized dislike of Joe Rogan. I don't watch Joe Rogan, so I don't have enough of an investment to say that I generally don't like him. I hated his commentary on this specific topic. And as an outsider, I think it's weird that humanity has decided he should be the most influential person out of all 6 billion of us. But no, not a generalized dislike or anything. Okay, so Nicole Nowicki says, yay, John and JR Wednesday, got my vaccine appointment finally, and one for my Joe Rogan loving husband. At least I know one listener is smart. I get it. Watch the needle go into his arm just in case.
On blast. Man, I'm glad she didn't give his name.
A Florida Dragon says, as a vegan, less animal testing would be great, and particularly less destruction of animals. Does not necessarily translate into human reactions. Vaccinated anyway to reduce death and suffering. That seems reasonable. Shireen Garcia says, hi, John and JR. It's been 2 weeks since my second Pfizer shot, so my tracking device in 5G should be fully functional. Can I be Dragon? Yes, but only if that's a reference to The Sandlot. Oh no, Lena Peek says, JR's Candy's OnlyFans new episode idea, edible underwear, enough said. And then she puts some emojis of underwear and candy. My stomach sinks every time I see a super chat from Lena Peek.
I'm not sure where the underwear part came into the this OnlyFans, but
that's true. It's banned on his OnlyFans as a general rule. And Rochelle says, I'm in Missouri and I pay about $8,000 a year for just one kid. Shaking my head, it's crazy. And you still have to pay the full week if they close for breaks and holidays. Oh God, I am going to teach my dogs to look after my kid. That's what I'm gonna do. Anyway, oh no. Oh God, second only to Lena Peek's super chats. Bart has a comment and I see the word vegan in it, so I'm immediately very worried. Bart says, to convince some of the vegans who do not want to get vaccinated, just tell them once they get a shot, they will have a lifetime supply of almond milk and cookies. Wait, I'm not a vegan. That would convince me. Like, I love the idea of almond milk and cookies. That sounds great. It's still milk and cookies, but I like your idea. Oh damn. Sexy Melly B over on Twitch just hit 12 months as a Twitch subscriber. Damn. Thank you for that. And Dragon Squad Lady hit 5 months. Thank you for that. It says, being vegan has nothing to do with not taking vaccine. Being vegan means doing the least harm as possible. Has your friend ever taken a Tylenol? Please don't say vegan and anti-vaxxer in the same sentence. It's ridiculous. Wait, I don't know if you're. Did I say something? I don't remember maligning vegans as being anti-vax or anything like that. I don't think. Anyway, if I did, I apologize. I don't have any memory of saying that.
That was Bart that did that. No, I think it was, I was talking about my friend that's a vegan and she was posting stuff about the anti-vaccination stuff, but it was all very in-depth stuff, yeah.
Okay, just wanted to clarify, JR's the bad guy. Okay, that said, let's jump into this thing. Joe Biden is gonna be giving his address tonight, promising big plans to theoretically deliver some economic relief to the American people in a variety of different forms. Mitch McConnell has to get out in front of that. He's just viscerally opposed to the idea that the government should deliver for regular people. And here is how he chooses to spin Biden's first 100 days.
The American people elected a 50-50 Senate, a closely divided House, and a president who preached moderation. He promised that his whole soul was committed to uniting our people. Many hoped his administration would reflect that promise, but the first 100 days have left much to be desired. Over a few short months, the Biden administration seems to have given up on selling actual unity in favor of catnip for their liberal base, covered with a hefty coat of false advertising.
Inspiring. Oh wait, we lost Jer, wake up Jer. He's done. Now we can give our commentary. So that was Minority Leader Senate Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell.
Anyway.
So The degree to which they believe in the BS that they're talking about every day, it shows in the way that they say it. Like, if you can't have enough of a connection to your statement, it's fine that it's written. I'm not those people who's like, teleprompter. I bring that up to make fun of the people who had a teleprompter issue with Obama, because everyone uses one. But at least have some kind of emotional connection to it, where we actually believe you believe it. Why would he? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It works for him this far. So maybe I'm the wrong one. But it's uninspiring, and it just kind of shows they go through the motions because they just know all we have to do is say the other side hates you, they're not working for you. Nothing behind those words. Just say that they dislike you and they're against unity, and then move on, because it's all it takes. Because they know we've already separated ourselves into teams, and no one's gonna switch.
Here's one particular way that was BS. And as I go through this, please just gaze upon JR and his background art. In those comments, Mitch McConnell said, the American people elected a 50-50 Senate. And what he meant by that was they wanted it to be split. They wanted bipartisanship. What are you talking about? They delivered a 50-50 Senate by electing two Democrats in a state that doesn't have Democratic senators generally. And they did that like a month or two after choosing a Democratic president. So they gave the Dems the House in 2018. 2 years later, they gave them the White House. 2 months later, they gave them the Senate. And that is, for Mitch McConnell, proof positive that they want balance in American government. No. And by the way, so the results of the Georgia special elections, in his mind, means the Republicans should get what they want. So presumably, if they'd gone the exact opposite way and they'd elected two Republicans, then I guess that would mean that they wanted the Democrats to get their way. I kind of doubt it, actually. It seemed like no matter what happened, he was going to say, oh, the American people don't want any relief for Americans. No, give
me
a break.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make any sense, because it's, again, so he's still pushing the unity line. And oh, Joe Biden's administration, I want unity. They give in upon unity. How does unity work again? Again, nobody comes back, at least people of any kind of political substance or politicians in Washington won't say, hey, this Republican Party keeps talking about unity. When are they gonna unify? We won. They still haven't said it. We won. Shut up and get in line. Unify behind me. Mandate, American people, push all that same stuff. See if they wanna be against the American people. Tell them every time that they lost. When they lose, they tell you that you lost. I don't know. This is a whole.
Yeah, but how about, you know what the unity is? The unity is the American people agreeing on what needs to be done. That's what it is. And the American people agreed when they had no representation. Now they agree when they have some representation. But no matter what the actual political makeup of the Senate, the White House, all of that, Mitch McConnell doesn't care what the American people think. So we've got our unity. You're not in it, okay? Because you don't represent enough people. Anyway, I do want to move on to other reactions, though. Here is what Fox and Friends had to say in anticipation of tonight's address by Joe Biden. I want to start off with something that will sort of make history. Steve Doocy with some good criticisms of Joe Biden that are accurate and fair. And then unfortunately, in the same clip, Brian Kilmeade starts talking.
Some of the things he promised on the campaign trail that are going to be missing from his speech tonight. Missing lower prescription drug prices. Not going to be talking about that. Not going to be talking about expanding Medicare eligibility. And this is really important. And I know a lot of you watching have been curious about the estate tax. He will not be including that campaign plan to raise the estate tax from 40 to 45% or lower the exemption from 11 million to 3.5 million because there are a lot of people, particularly family farm owners, who are very concerned about that particular provision. Yeah. If it went in, they would be sunk.
Yeah, he'll get around to it, trust me. America, you elected Bernie Sanders, you just didn't know it.
Some of the most influential political commentators in the country can't tell the difference between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. How about this? Talk to one of the supporters of either of those two candidates, and they will explain some pretty massive differences there. JR, they're worried about all these family farmers that are very worried about the estate tax affecting them. These multimillionaire small family farms. Yeah. They said to their audience, I know a lot of you are worried about this estate tax. Okay, maybe they're worried about it. They're not going to be affected by it. You have to be a multimillionaire. And they're just expecting, oh yeah, no, that affects literally everybody, doesn't it? Everybody I know is worried about the death tax.
Yeah, well, because also the picture that they paint of these small business farmers is this guy with some overalls on, some Levi's overalls on, and a ratty t-shirt underneath, and he's got this charcoal covered face, and his 12-year-old son is his only helper on the whole farm, and they're trying to farm 10,000 acres of land, and they're trying to herd cattle, and then they got some pigs in the back and chickens over here. And that's where your food comes from when it goes to your local grocery store. That's the picture that they paint to people. And they think that that's what farmers are right now, in the country. And it, oh man, these estate taxes are gonna destroy our farming. Then after that, guess what's gonna happen? Food prices are gonna go up. There's gonna be food shortages, potentially even some grocery stores that don't have fresh food. All that already happens. But nobody cares when we point out the real reasons why those things happen. Instead, we're gonna say, hey, these Democrats slash Joe Biden, who is also Bernie Sanders now, is now looking to destroy our farming industry because of the estate tax. When people should ask, okay, what does the estate tax do to these particular farmers? How will it affect our flow of food or whatever else you think that they're giving you or selling to you? Those questions need to be asked. And if you have a problem with it after you have those actual answers, okay. But they don't want you to have the actual answers, those things. They want to tell you what it looks like. They paint this picture of 1950s America where there's these local farmers and that's the only thing you can get your food from. Go down to the corner store and get your eggs. No, that's not how it works. So that's this whole down home old school American picture is just not the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll play a little game. I'm curious. There's thousands of people watching. Anyone in the chat on either Twitch or YouTube, have you ever even known anyone that was affected by the estate tax? I sincerely doubt it. Now maybe our audience is skewed less hoity-toity rich, I don't know, but I kind of doubt it. Now that said, the disconnect between the hosts of Fox and Friends and the sorts of people who are going to respond very favorably to some of what Biden is going to announce tonight becomes even clearer when Ainsley Earhart starts talking about their plans to provide 2 free years of community college.
Just free college. Think about free college too.
Yeah.
If your family doesn't make a lot of money, there's something called a scholarship. You can apply for that right now. We don't have to give free college to every single person. You can apply for a scholarship if you have good grades.
Financial aid.
Exactly. If you make good grades and you've worked your tail off to get into the college, then they can give you a scholarship.
There are
when you deserve it.
I mean, look, I get that libs are supposed to be the ones that we always just lecture people. We don't understand real people's economic concerns. That was 3 multimillionaires telling their audience, no, all that stuff that you believe about your difficulty paying for college or your kids' difficulty paying, no, that's all wrong. Systems in place, just get a scholarship, systems in place. And I know because I went to college 25 years ago and I was able to pay for it, or my family was able to pay for it. So you clearly must be able to pay for it. And yet, I don't know, is their audience, does they have a problem with that? How many people watching them right there have kids that are struggling to pay for college or that are going into debt, and yet they're just nodding along? Yep, no, they're scholarships. We don't need any help. There's no problem whatsoever with affordability of higher education. No. So this, frustrating, JR.
Yeah, this is the part of it. So then scholarships, again, to cover total college expenses. What are the college expenses in general? You know, what about the school that your kid got into or wanted to go to, or it actually will help him get into the get into their field of study, or I'm sorry, their profession after they study at this college? There's reasons why kids go to certain colleges, and there's reasons why they take these particular instances. So when you have scholarships and grants and all that stuff as a part of it, will it cover your total college expenses? I had grants, I had scholarships. It didn't cover it all. Absolutely not.
Yep.
Now you can always say, hey, maybe you should have gone to another school. That's fine. But the problem is if you actually want to do something the way you would like to do it, this freedom we like to talk about in this country of going where you like to go, pursuing your degree, and having a profession that you enjoy and actually benefit from, let them choose their way. What's wrong with that choice? And then what's wrong with Americans getting what they paid for? College would not be free. It's not free. Where did that money come from? I hate that. It's not free college. We already paid for it. Mm-hmm. And instead of giving it to another corporation to put in their pockets and then put off and stash in some kind of savings account overseas or shell
companies
and all that type of stuff, to whatever ways that they hide the money, how does that benefit anyone? We all pay for this stuff. It's so crazy. It's not free. It's not free. It's not free.
Yeah, I mean, the issue there is that Fox and Friends has their audience and they have their audience. There's the literal people watching their program, and then there's the people that are designed to benefit from what they're advocating for. And that's actually going to become very clear in our last video. So Fox and Friends and Fox more generally, the entire right-wing media sphere, has really worked overtime to create an environment where if the Dems did what they should do over the next few years, and that is very much not guaranteed, they will be very much unable to understand why things are going the way they are and why people will respond very favorably to it. So I want to show you a bit of Fox and Friends. This is them talking about taxes, what the American people think about taxes, and what the American people think about government programs that actually benefit them in some fashion. And take a look at how difficult it is for these three millionaires that are paid for their political analysis, their ability to incisively break down what's actually happening, what people want to happen. Look at them trying to work out what's going on.
And when they talk about raising taxes on the wealthy people, a majority of people in this country are okay with that. So
because they're not wealthy. Most people aren't wealthy.
That is not true. You think the majority of the country wants their taxes raised?
No. They're okay with raising taxes on the wealthy, the rich.
If you ask people, do you want to go to Disneyland every day? That's popular. But is it logical? Is it feasible? Is it practical? No. You can't have every, but the most American people know you can't be sober and expect all these free things and have a capitalist free market society.
I just remember the poll that we cited last year about this time, and I want to say it was a Reuters poll, showed that something like 65% of Americans were okay with jacking up taxes to pay for things that they wanted. And these are politically popular.
So jacking up other people's taxes to get something you want has got to be very popular.
Brian, if you used to have a job pre-COVID, and now you're getting a paycheck from the government, and it's more than what you made, they like that, yeah, even though it's our money.
Right.
And if you get your college paid for, and you don't make a lot of money, they like that.
But you have to understand something.
It's very expensive.
That is called socialism.
I agree.
And that is not a successful economy. The reason why we work, we have a free market capitalist economy. That's not what we're working towards here. Sooner or later, someone's going to have to work for a living, earn that money, and be willing to give up $7 of every $10 that they earn. When the American people are forced to look at this holistically, that is not popular.
It's sad when you are giving more money to the government than you are putting in your bank account.
Not going to last.
Sad. Yeah, and it's not at all remotely what Joe Biden is actually talking about. And oh, by the way, America did actually have that for the wealthiest earners for literally decades, and our economy exploded in leaps and bounds in growth, but we're going to pretend that nothing of that happened. You need to look holistically. I want more lessons about how to look at things holistically from a guy who couldn't follow Steve Doocy's incredibly basic point that he was making.
Yeah.
Like, it is difficult to stand out as so dumb on Fox and Friends that the other two hosts feel the need to pull you back in line live on air. But anyway, JR, what did you think?
Well, there's multiple times it stuck out to me. Ainsley was talking about, you know, that you could pay for the schools and all that stuff, but it's our money. Taking who's again? Because the conversation is about taxing people who are not getting taxed at the higher end of this of the financial spectrum, right? Corporations and things like that. But now it's our money. There is this, we talk about unity. We keep talking about conservatives, keep talking about unity in this Biden administration. There's this division in the country, and they keep spreading it further and further. Every time you talk about my money, our money is fueling for you and that and you, this assumption that half or not even half, these top 1% of the country is paying, and everyone else in the country is just tax free. Almost cussed. That's crazy. That is just not the case. So every time that these regular Americans have their taxes do go up, and then we keep handing our money over to the richest folks in the country and then say it's going to help the economy because we're going to help you as long as you give us all your money first. That conversation is never had. They just don't want to have that conversation. Instead, hey, anybody who's not a multimillionaire and a billionaire, the problem is you're just sucking off the teat of America. It's a continuously downgrading and slamming rhetoric that goes to normal people. Like, they hate Americans. They really hate. She was really upset from the thought of contributing to society the way that people she hates contribute to society. If you get more money in your bank account than you're putting in that way, who's When is that happening? That little $1,200 or $600 here and there, trust, people are paying way more than that back to the government. If they don't, they're getting hunted down by the IRS, they're getting jailed, they're getting fined. All that stuff happens to people. We know that. They don't have the time and money to actually look into rich people or corporations that are doing worse things.
Yeah. You know, I would be mostly okay with the fact that that's as influential and watched as it is if they just admitted what they were. That we are three rich people doing content to benefit the rich and to delude people, conservatives who are not rich, into thinking if you support what we're saying, either maybe someday you'll be rich, or at the very least, you'll still feel morally superior to the libs. You may not ever actually improve your lot in life, but we'll distract you with, you know, potato heads and Dr. Seuss and stuff, and you'll feel better than all those people. But they pretend that they're the ones who are speaking out for the economically downtrodden, yeah, the people, yeah, who've been forgotten. We just had back-to-back videos of her mocking the idea that people should get help in paying for college, that they could just do, they could get scholarships or charity or whatever. And then talking about how their money is being taken for these programs. Now we all pay. We all pay, and we all get a say in what we pay for. And we not individually, we can't change the entire system, but we can try. So for instance, I pay for fossil fuel subsidies. I pay for bombing in Syria. I don't want to. And so I use my voice and my platform to try to change that. Turns out the things I want tax money to go towards, things like helping people pay for health insurance, you know, preschool, all sorts of things like that, are far more popular. Now in a true democracy, that we shouldn't need to have that fight. It should just produce the right political outcome. That hasn't happened yet, but we're working on it. And the idea that government priorities would reflect the priorities of the American people, she reacts so viscerally to that.
Yeah.
And not just her, all three of them are appalled at the idea that the government would actually provide for regular people. But okay, no, continue that way. Continue that way, pretending to be populist while telling your audience the government should never do anything for the working class, and see how that works out. You guys have had a great track record in winning popular votes over the last couple of decades. I'm sure it's gonna work out very well for you.
Well, yeah, they don't have to concern themselves with the popular vote of people, because, you know, that's not how we elect people.
Potentially, yeah. we'll see. We'll see. I agree. Now, let's read a few super chats and then we're gonna press on. And I think we'll continue as it is for now. We're gonna see, the D block might not make it. Anyway, if you haven't already, please go to tyt.com/polls and you could vote in our How Will Biden Do It Tonight's joint address to Congress poll. It's gonna be a fun one and I wanna see your results at the end. Penguin points out no State of the Union after inauguration, presumably because they're too new to have done much. They do the address instead. That's true. It just, then why demarcate it as not being the State of the Union? You can give a State of the Union as it is that you're getting elected into. It's all campaign speeches anyway. It's just such a ridiculous, it's all ridiculous. Anyway, Jackson Kissling says, shot two of Pfizer today. Now I can transform into a car. It was alarming at first, but it's a very efficient car. So overall, a good decision. Love Arbitrary Dragon. Thank you. Don of Division Street says, JR, thank you so much for expressing that voice about the vaccine. I've been waiting every day for someone on TYT to say this. Thank you.
What's up now, Ida Rula? Am I the bad guy?
I've been failing. Anyway, Sea Salt Chip says, here's a Sandlot reference for you, John. We haven't seen Sprocket in forever. Forever. JR, you could fix this. You could bring him out. There were so many emojis in the chat for Sprocket.
I've noticed that today Sprocket is not actually in the house. He is out already on his adventures. Yeah. So no Sprocket today, not even a possibility. Usually I just, you know, I hide him, but this time he's actually not here.
Okay, lies. He's chained up in the basement. Anyway, Matthias, thank you for becoming a tier one YouTube member. I appreciate that. Sophia Smirnov says, my family is super blue collar and has worked her tail off. When I went to college, they still had to fork over almost $8,000 a year after I got $10,000 of scholarships. Plus, I also have to take out a federal loan. No, no, Sophia, I don't, you're wrong. Because Ainsley Earhart went to college before 9/11 and she knows what's actually going on. You're wrong about the thing you're experiencing right now. Jesus. But we are the lecturers on the left. We're always just telling people what their life's about.
And somehow after they say all this to the majority of Americans will sit there and listen to this, these untruths. but still won't write them off. Won't go, they don't know what they're talking about. They've never talked to anyone like me. And then why isn't the next step, I'm never watching these lying a-holes again. Like, why is that not the next sentence?
I don't know. I don't know. It's always like when you see someone like that has a media platform or whatever, say something really crazy and awful or get something super enthusiastically wrong. So it's fun to just watch and be like, is the audience gonna react? Are they gonna learn? No, things are gonna proceed as they always were. Okay, that's the way it sort of works, almost always. Anyway, Lex Proctor says, I'd pay to see Jake Paul box Brian Kilmeade. That's pretty funny. I would, just so that hopefully Jake and Anna can talk about it. Anyway,
Brian Kilmeade is
Mary Hooker Myers. What's that?
Kilmeade is a big sports fan.
He'd probably be down for it. Yeah, maybe Hannity. After all, he's such a fighter. Remember those segments?
Oh, yeah.
God, Mary Hooker Myers says, OMG, is he really that dumb? Unfortunately, yes. But well paid for it, by the way. Okay, so Black Raven gifted 2 tier 1 subs over on Twitch. Thank you so much for that. Birdie Blythe did one as well. Trima Boutique gave 1 too, hitting 69 total. Very nice for Twitch. Thank you. Obi-Wan Kenobi gifted 2 as well. Thank you much. Thank you very much, as always, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Appreciate that. Okay, Minnesota Patty Orr says, got my second Pfizer shot yesterday. Feel like a weight has been lifted and I'm able to see my parents finally. Thank you for all you do at TYT, keeping us sane, and always love Big News Wednesdays with JR. Thank you, Minnesota, and everyone chatting over at Twitch. It's so funny that we just, like, it was a, what, I don't even remember how we started with Big News Wednesdays, but now I really think of it as it's Big News Wednesdays. I want a Big News Wednesdays shirt.
John, the thing is, I'm a bit of a marketing machine.
Yeah.
I say it and it becomes a thing. Like I said, you have to manifest. Yeah, bro.
He's the merch manifester. You know what? I'm going to make a quick call. I think we're going to skip to the D block and then proceed from there and see what we can get to. I think the C block thematically I can make work tomorrow with Viviana. That said, while the director is scrambling to fix what I've just done to him, let me remind you that after the post game later on today, we're going to be giving you some commentary of Biden's big address. Cenk, JR, and myself, but also really importantly, JR, you're coming in the studio, right?
I will be in studio.
Yeah, we're like, this isn't just a special. We're all going to be at the desks talking, like doing our pre stuff, giving our live reaction of Biden. And then Tim Scott's going to talk, Jamal Bowman's going to talk, we're going to give it a reaction. Like the before times. It's going to be awesome. Not going to want to miss it.
Not going to miss it. The energy is going to be electric because of it.
I think it's going to be great. It's going to be so cool. Even if I'm probably going to be over here at the kids table. Unfortunately, you guys are going to be over there. Anyway,
I was thinking I would be at the side, but we'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, with that, we proceed on with the news. Man, this hour is passing fast. Okay. Is that really the... Oh yeah, I guess that's thematically linked. I was like, that's a weird B-roll. Anyway, remember earlier this week when basically every right wing in the country became convinced that Vice President Kamala Harris had been having her book given to kids being held in migrant lockup. Yeah, and it turned out that that was not true. The idea that you would believe it is true is just crazy, but many people did. Now they had one excuse, which is that a New York Post article said that it was true. That was the only source for it, but they did have that source. That has since been changed. However, there's another update as well, and that is that the author of that article put out a few tweets. Laura Italiano says, an announcement. Today, I handed in my resignation to my editors at the New York Post. The Kamala Harris story, an incorrect story I was ordered to write and which I failed to push back hard enough against, was my breaking point. It's been a privilege to cover the city of New York for its liveliest, wittiest tabloid, a paper filled with reporters and editors I admire deeply and hold as friends. I'm sad to leave. That is apparently all true, even if the name sounds a little bit made up. Like, it sounds like something Francesca would come up with on a Monday show at TDR. But anyway, it is apparently true. I'm not going to stake my entire political ideology on it like they did with the original story, but it is apparently true. And so it looks like an instance where there was some pressure by the editors to produce a certain story, even if the writer who was putting it together did not believe that the evidence actually supported it.
Well, it sounds like it's rife with all kinds of problems, but if that's the case, and maybe it would have been, I guess, jeopardizing her job if she came out before this and pointed out that she's getting pressured to write this story. But I mean, your job's gone now over it. And was she pressured because she knew it was all a big lie? She knew it was like, you know, propaganda to push a certain point. I don't know if she included any of that in her explanation. But I mean, the courage to point it out now, I guess, is something, but the courage to point out before you spread misinformation and lies that didn't get picked up all over the place, that would be
it's
a
hard.
Little bit more
I mean,
helpful.
If you're gonna lose your job, I get that. It is your job to lose totally. Your job rather than tell lies as a journalist, but
yeah. But she quit her job now anyway. So it's the same result, yeah. Just after you caused the damage of misinformation.
I mean, it might be, but what I'm saying is, JR, it might be that you put it out there, you don't like it. Then when it's picked up, it shows you how much damage that can do. Mm. And probably a feeling of even greater guilt. Like, it's one thing to okay a story, but then when it becomes like the national story for right wingers for 24 hours, like actually kind of pushing the fake Biden meat story out of the news cycle, then maybe that's like, that tells you, no, I gotta get out of here. This is not where I need to be.
Maybe. I mean, I guess we're giving her the benefit of the doubt on all this stuff.
I'm trying.
Yeah, no, and by the way, it's fine too. I'm not against that. You know, because we never know what was actually going through her head or what actually happened in the timeline and way she felt about it and if she felt she needed to keep her job. And then, you know, people's breaking points are different. So I'm not here to judge that. I don't know, maybe this can be a cautionary tale for anyone else who's looking to write some more propaganda or is being told to write lies for the sake of pushing a propaganda point for just for a certain side. It just doesn't make any sense. Or maybe we just point out the fact that if this editor in this particular newspaper or online publication decided to do this, where's the punishment coming down for them? Where's the pushback and the rejection from society to them over this? If you're mad at her, you definitely should be upset at the publication.
Well, by the way, you should also continue to be upset at the publication because despite all of this, they're still finding a way to be pretty awful about it. So we're gonna jump ahead slightly, note to the director, but the story was found to be false. They only found one photograph of a single copy of Harris's book, Superheroes Are Everywhere, that was donated. The story was temporarily removed on Tuesday and has since been republished with an editor's note advising that only, quote, one known copy of the book was given to a child. Like there's some sort of behind the scenes conspiracy, hidden books, kids are transporting them inside teddy bears. No, there was a book, that's all it was. Stop trying to cling to your story, but they really are. The revised version of the article removed the claim that the Harris book was being placed in welcome kits and added the fact that the book was donated by a community member, but it still claimed that the presence of the book in the shelter was, quote, an open arms gesture by the Biden administration, even though there's no evidence that the administration had anything to do with it. Biden is guilty because some volunteer maybe put it there.
Can we at least think about, okay, approach this as if you are a conservative, someone who is a Fox News watcher and is gonna believe anything that's said, or maybe this New York Post, the publication?
Yeah.
That wrote it and you read it and you're outraged. When I'm outraged about something that's happening politically, I go, I can't believe they're doing this because it does this. What if Kamala Harris's book was all over the place? Mm-hmm. What if her book was, first off, a welcome package? Is there, and then folks that are coming in are seeing it. What does that do for them? Migrant children who just got here over whatever kind of treacherous journey they took to get here, and then they're here, and then Kamala Harris's book is sitting there. I thought, you know, Central Americans and Mexicans and everything were horrible people who don't know English. They need to learn the English language, first of all. They don't know English. How are they gonna read her book? Why would they pick up her book? Are they gonna go and have casual reading while they're in holding cells? Because we are pointing out how the Biden administration is screwing up things on the border and they still have these kids in cells and cages and it's overpopulated and all that stuff. Are they gonna have some casual reading time while they're in overpopulated cells that we're talking about how this crisis is going on at the border? They keep mixing up their talking points. One second, it's a crisis at the border with all these issues, which is true. But the next moment, they're handing out Kamala Harris's books because Kamala Harris's books are a rave with the immigrants from Central America. What are you talking about? Are they dirty immigrants that don't know English? Or are they sophisticated, well-read 7-year-olds that are looking to read Kamala Harris's book and then be inspired to do what? What's in Kamala Harris's book that's so devastating to the American public that if these immigrants get their hands on it, they're gonna do what? What are you mad about? Even if this stupid BS story is true, they got their hands on Kamala Harris's book, a 7-year-old kid from Guatemala. What's he gonna do with it? Oh my God, it's so stupid that even after they write the story, that anybody goes, this is devastating. It's not devastating, even if it was true. It's stupid. What a dumb thing for Kamala Harris to do. Give kids a book. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Look, you need to be more understanding of Fox News. They have to whip their audience up into a new frenzy every day, while importantly never acknowledging any of the real problems in America. That is probably at least somewhat difficult to do. And it leads to them freaking out about stuff and they have no idea even why they're freaking out about it. Anyway, okay. With that, we are now going to move on. I'm so tired, John. I know. I said on the pre-show today, I don't know how many more days I have of being able to cover the news. There's a number. I don't know what it is, but there is a number. Anyway, with that, this country's just the worst. Anyway, okay, let's move on to this story. One of the worst things I've seen in quite a while. Reporters were able to find footage from back in 2013 that shows Wayne LaPierre, the NRA's chief executive, attempting and failing to kill an elephant multiple times. Now, this footage was originally supposed to be released by an NRA sponsored program. As I describe it, you will quickly realize why they didn't end up using it. Understand that the footage is available, and I briefly considered playing it on the show. And then as I watched, I realized there's no way that I'm doing that because this is terrible. It reflects as poorly on Wayne LaPierre as pretty much anything he's ever said or done. So here's what happened. The footage of Wayne LaPierre in Botswana first shows him walking through the bush dressed in loose fitting safari attire. And you really should see at least that part of it. Because man, these people think that cosplay is ridiculous and they can't wait to cosplay certain characters. He's got an NRA sports baseball cap on. He's accompanied by several professional guides and his longtime advisor, the host of Under Wild Skies, what they were going to be releasing this on. After a guide spots an elephant standing behind a tree, LaPierre takes aim with a rifle. As he peers through the weapon scope, the guide repeatedly tells him to wait before firing. LaPierre, who's wearing earplugs, doesn't hear the instructions and pulls the trigger. The elephant drops. He says, did we get him? Kind of. They shot him. They just didn't kill him. So now they need to kill the elephant. The guide points at point blank range, mind you, where LaPierre needs to fire another round to kill the elephant. LaPierre fires, apparently missing, but hitting the elephant 3 more times before the host finally finishes off the elephant that has now been shot 4 times already and is dying slowly in seemingly great agony. After that, the guide says of LaPierre's marksmanship, you dropped him like no tomorrow. It's wonderful. We've got more on the rest of the LaPierre family. But this is Wayne LaPierre, the ultimate gun guy, the ultimate alpha, hunting in the wild in the safari, JR. And it's weird they didn't want to release the footage afterward after going to all this expense.
I wonder why. Actually, you know, it was talking about the bad PR. Is it that or is it the bad PR? Yeah, I mean, the bad PR is overall like their conclusion. Is the bad PR because of the brutality of the way that they mowed down the elephant and kept shooting them in the wrong place? Or is it the embarrassment of the head of the NRA talking about how awesome he is and, oh yeah, target practice, guns, guns, and he can't even shoot an elephant? A good guy with a gun is what we need when there's a bad guy with a gun, is what Wayne LaPierre likes to say. Apparently, if the bad guy with the gun is the size of an elephant, the good guy with the gun can't do anything about it anyway because the elephant still can't get shot in the correct spot. So this guy is taken on a tour of a hunt. He's not hunting, he's taken on a tour of a hunt with cameras for the sole purpose of selling this to more people who want to tout their gun and hunting culture. This is not hunting. You know, if you want to sell football to Americans that love football because America is pastime, it's football, yeah. But then if you show some amateurs that are stumbling over themselves and can't snap the ball or hand the ball off to the running back, football fans are gonna go, why am I watching this garbage? They suck. So why would good old gun nuts be impressed by you loser who can't shoot an elephant shooting it 17 times before someone else has to kill it for you? Again, yeah. Shooting elephants, because first of all, that idea sounds really good. And that's what really
makes you feel like,
man.
They like the idea of it, that they're safari hunters. Hunters. I literally do not understand what part of hunting is in this. Did he stalk it through the safari? Did he mask it? His scent? No, he walked up and he executed it. These are elephants that are trained to be totally cool with humans being near them. This is no more hunting than it would be hunting if they painted an elephant on a wall and he shot that poorly.
And shot the wall several times first.
And look, and then later on his wife kills an elephant. She actually apparently did it. She comments on how old it is, how wrinkled it was, and says, victory. You know, like the thing you say after some big struggle or challenge is overcome. She executed an old elephant and then decided she needed a trophy, so she cut its tail off and said, that's my elephant tail. Way cool. There has never been anything less cool than what I just read for you. The entire thing is absolutely appalling. And look, this isn't even about hunting, because this isn't hunting. My father was a hunter. He was a bow hunter that hunted deer growing up, okay? That was at least in theory hunting. This is animal execution. This is walking up to an amazing, awe-inspiring animal and wanting to be the thing that blows its head off. That's all this is. And I understand some people respond, well, no, John, what you don't understand is that they do this, they sell this for conservation. No, I get that. The reason they do that is because there's a market for murdering elephants. In theory, these rich a-holes could just donate the money. If what they really care about is the conservation, not the murder, then take out that part of the equation. Pay $70,000 to pose for a picture with the elephant rather than blowing its face open. You could do that, they choose not to. It's not about the conservation, it's about murdering something big and feeling like a big guy because you executed something that felt no fear, that felt perfectly comfortable standing in front of you. A complex emotional animal. In response to the story, people have been telling all this information about the broad range of emotional experiences of elephants. Elephants mourn their dead. You know, when their children are in danger or injured, they freak out.
Yeah.
They sway to music. These are complex creatures. And Wayne LaPierre just wants to shoot it. He wants to be the guy that slowly killed this thing. Is that different than wanting to do a snuff film? Like to want to walk up to someone seated in a chair and blow their head away? Maybe in some fashion, I'm not a philosopher. Feels very similar to me though.
Well, I mean, throughout our history have been murdering other people that they feel are, that they're superior to anyway, for sport as well. So, you know, they would like to do that with humans as well, but you know, they always did before and not only do it in covert ways until they get caught. So the other part about this is so his wife decides to cut off the tail of the elephant and it's cool, it's mine. So what do you do with it then? What do you do with this severed elephant tail that's gonna, because it's flesh, it's gonna shrivel up and turn into some black line sitting there? You're gonna put it in a capsule, you're gonna put it on your mantle, it's gonna be on your bedside table. What's the use of the trophy of the tail now? For that very second, you maybe feel good cutting it off and feeling like a real human. But then what do you do with it? What's the point?
Well, JR, I can answer, they cut its feet off. The front feet, they turned them into stools. Mm-hmm. So they could sit on its foot.
Yeah, and then the tail doesn't have much of a use as far as, I don't know, anything else afterwards. So maybe just use to show off to your rich friends. Hey, so we went on this elephant, not hunt, but this elephant tracking. And we just followed this elephant, shot it in his head several times and then cut off its tail. Isn't that cool? If my friend told me that, cool? I'd be like, no, you kind of suck at this. Actually, where's the skill in that? Why should I be impressed with you? What did you do that I couldn't do that gives you the option to have this elephant's tail in your house and try to show it off to me?
Yeah.
What's so awesome?
Yeah, it's like, it would be like if you had tied someone to a chair and I walked up and shot them in the head and said, I'm John Wick, I'm an assassin. No, you killed something. That's literally all that you did. You killed a thing. And then you had weird mementos of it.
Yep. All it shows is you're good at not giving a damn about creatures. And actually not even having any skill when you take one out. Whichever kind of, even the people who are impressed by you being able to take it out, they shouldn't be impressed by this anyway.
God. Anyway, let's move very briefly on to, actually we're gonna hit up the results. We got one more story that we're gonna hit for just a second, but let's see what's going on with the poll. So we asked you, how will Biden do it tonight's joint address to Congress? And we got our responses. Let's see. Overwhelmingly, almost 96% of you think it will be fine but uninspiring. Only 3% think it'll be a speech for the ages, and I feel like you're trolling us. But anyway, 1.5% of you think he will fall asleep at the podium. I really thought that there would be a bit more of a mix, but yeah, fine but uninspiring is basically his middle name. And so I guess that's what we're gonna get out of Joe Biden. Thank you to everybody who voted.
It's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be the best. Anyway, we're gonna have fun no matter what. Leslie K in the super chat said, I almost took the day off from news today, but then realized it was big news Wednesdays with JR. Thanks for keeping me sane during these insane times. Thank you. The Progressive Carpenter, hey Progressive Carpenter, says, can we get a JR rated t-shirt? Does that exist already? Does it exist?
It exists. John, when you started trying to get some, not the Dragon Squad stuff, there was something, I think we both had this conversation. There was a, oh, there's a Johnny Pie one. That's right. You're going to do like TYT with like a pie background. And I said, oh yeah, man.
I'm still working on that, by the way.
Yeah, it was at the same time that we both mentioned the JR rated and that one. Both are still being worked on.
Yeah, it wasn't like, it didn't even have my name or my face. It was just TYT, but the letters were in pie texture. It's never gonna happen. Anyway, never gonna happen. They lied to me. I was gaslit about that. Anyway.
Apparently, I mean, maybe the JR rated thing is only if it's more than once a week. Once a week is just not enough, you know?
Maybe we need to get more, maybe. Anyway, Edwin subscribed on Twitch for 2 months. Thank you for that. Says, I don't even live in the US, but JR's commentary makes me want to skip kids at all costs. Woo!
Wow.
JR is cutting the future population. Anyway. Oh no. Okay, Bart has a comment. Says, one of my greatest pleasures in life is watching bullfighters getting mauled by a bull. I think elephant fighting should be a sport like bullfighting. Instead of a gun, give an elephant fighter a red cape and sword to fight the elephant. Nothing would give me greater pleasure to see Wayne LaPierre in an elephant fighting arena. Bart is, he's an idea crafter. He just comes up with concepts no one else would.
And by the way, that whole bullfighting thing, they also give a disadvantage to the bull because the bull would always win. But they give this, they have disadvantage to the bull before he even starts, so that this guy who's supposed to be talented has a full advantage to win. And they still sometimes get it. That's why.
Yeah. Okay, so let's roll on to our last quick topic. Just wanted to have a little bit of fun. Josh Hawley, oh, he just wants to be cool. He wants to be the coolest right winger, and he's gonna trigger the libs, and he's gonna give them all the red meat that they want. But like, he doesn't even know what he's doing. He's pulling at like 1% for 2024. Anyway, so he has a book that he totally wrote called The Tyranny of Big Tech. So he's one of many of these right wingers that hates big tech. And he tweeted about it, which is the start of how fun this is. The corporate media and the woke mob don't want you to read this book. They tried to cancel it. They failed. 1 week until publication, order here. So I want you to leave that up. And I want to acknowledge what everyone at this point has acknowledged. So Josh Hawley hates big tech. And he tweeted about it on Twitter. On his iPhone from Apple about a book that you can now buy on Amazon. What is he leaving out? I guess TikTok isn't involved, but I'm feeling he's gonna dance to show you how cool the book is. That's all of them. Like, if he had tweeted it while standing next to like Mark Zuckerberg and be like, hey Zucky, what do you think about this tweet there, buddy? That's the only thing that's not in there. You dumb dummy.
John, I imagine the three names you would have called him if we could curse on air. But and it was awesome, those things that I imagine. So yeah, it's the tyranny of this big tech. Apparently, he's a part of it. It's this continuing argument that big tech is the devil. And you can have that argument, but at least don't participate with it. You know, no. It's like, I don't know, man. It's maybe this is what Donald Trump's doing. It is. You can't go ahead and push against the vaccine and talk about the dangers of the vaccine and then go get it. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. It's like you're disingenuous and you don't believe and mean anything that you're saying. You're just doing it to sell something. Because of course, again, a president candidate for some reason has to have a book written somewhat near when they run. And they also have to somehow have this division over the book too. All the libs and the big tech and them and that, they don't want us to go see what they don't want you to see. What happens to selling the book? Which part of the book is getting sold here? What is in this book that I want to read, Josh? All Josh tells us.
He didn't write it. Somebody wrote it. Let's have the ghostwriter come on the show. Anyway, really fast. Blue Heart on Twitch says, does Holly's book come with a free month of Disney Plus? No, that would be good. No, but for a limited time, the first 5 pre-orders will be added to his 5 on MySpace. Anyway, about big tech. So he at some point must have looked at the replies. And so he started tweeting other stuff. He said, the lefty meltdown on this monopoly platform that I'm willingly using. Okay, that's not in there. He acknowledges it's a monopoly platform that he is trying to post his book. Anyway, the meltdown every time I post about my book that they try to cancel it is all the endorsement you need. But should it be? Like, shouldn't you, as JR said, like actually promote the book? Do you know what's in it? And by the way, the lefty meltdown when they mocked me for being stupid. It's like, yeah. My coworkers have a meltdown every time I walk out of the bathroom with toilet paper stuck to the bottom of my shoe. Why are you all melting down? That's not what that is, you dummy. You big thumbs up dummy.
They've normalized sucking as a starting point. If I suck and someone points out how much I suck, that's just them hating on me. You suck. You're bad at this. You're no good. The things you produce suck. If someone points that out that's better at it than you are, see, that should be proof enough. You should go buy my sucky book because people who are good at it said it sucks.
It's no, like, JR, I just figured out what it is. It's getting owned by the libs to own the libs. That's what it is. It's literally, it is being mocked, being a laughing stock to own the other side.
It's a shame.
I'm gonna pee my pants. That'll show you. And I don't know.
If your football team in your town has went with no victories last year and got one win 2 years ago, I think I'm talking about the New York Jets. Anyway, if you're a Jets fan and your team sucks, and then there's scattered people in the stands, and then the Jets send out a social media site going, hey, if coming to a Jets game, just look at these empty stands. If that's not endorsement enough to come to our crappy games, what else is there? You suck. I don't want to see it.
JR mocking our team is all the endorsement I need. God, you're terrible at this.
Did you see the Bucks score 72 points on us last week? Well, yeah, come see us play. No. I don't want to see that.
I just imagine myself having a horrible motorcycle accident on the road. I'm like, all the endorsement I need. You can't just fail to win. That's not how winning works. Anyway, okay, that was what I needed to close out this hour. JR, as always, thank you so much. Looking forward to being special with you.
Okay, yeah, it'll be fun tonight. Let's do it. It'll be fun. Let's do it.
It will. And it's coming up at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, the Biden address to the joint session of Congress, where he is going to put forward some good ideas. Others he won't, but the ones he has seem mostly pretty good for now before Manchin gets to them. But we'll break it down before that happens. So join us then, Cenk, myself, and JR at the desk together. So it's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Also, thank you, Mark Beckley, for that late super chat. Really appreciate that. I'm going to read just a couple of quick comments. Octo Squiddy says this, and I'm trying to remember what this is a reference to, but I know it's something. It's, if peeing your pants is cool, I'm Miles Davis. That's definitely from a movie, but I don't remember what. Anyway, Justin Ortega says, Billy Madison is Billy Madison. Nice, thank you. That was Skip the director. Just freaking Ortega says JR versus Jake Paul. I can see the headlines now. Just like Jesse Dolemore trying to box Tuck Tuck for charity, but he won't do it. Call them out and start taking names. JR, take him out. Anyway, no, I don't actually suggest that. Okay. Lots of great comments. Thank you so much to the super chats. We can't read in time. I apologize. We have like a minute left, but I want to thank you all for being here, watching the show. Hope that you had fun just like I did. Later on the Young Turks, Anna Kasparian, I'm going to be joining her for the second hour in the post game before that special. So hope to see you there. But until then, stay safe out there. Stay sane out there. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.